Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
All right, everyone, how's it going? This is the Designing an Alien first portion, arts portion seminar. We're going to be here. We'll do the art bit. We'll sort of give everyone 10 minutes to sort of take a break in between before we get into the mostly the stats bit in the second hour. And if you want to fail, I won't be offended. Adam probably will be, though, so. For now, we're going to get started. And this is my first time doing, Adam's done the Design a Monster one, like, for years now, right?
Yeah.
This is, but I'm doing a lot of the development on Alien Archive, aliens, monsters, whatever you call them. So that's why I'm talking right now. So how we usually start is we get some sort of general theme, I think. We're going to be soliciting a lot of suggestions from you all if you haven't been to one of these before. Remco's going to get some ideas off you and do some sketches and pick which ones he likes to draw best, probably. And when all is said and done, we'll have a sketch, and then after that hour, we'll give it some stats. And while he's sketching, Adam and I will just sort of talk about general monster making process and that sort of thing. What I thought would be neat for this is that since Alien Archive has a lot of the components in there, we counted as also being an option for play, lots of options for players to play these weird things. I thought it would be neat to do a thing that could be possible to be played as a PC. Now, in Starfinder, that does not necessarily mean definitely mean humanoid, but it does. We're going to shy away from Godzillas and microbes, anything that's sort of like gigantic. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to talk about Godzilla? Well, we give. Look, it's not like this would be a new playable race that's available at launch anyway. So if we do a playable Godzilla, we do a playable Godzilla. That being said, sort of one way to sort of maybe we can narrow this down is to start thinking about what kind of a planet does this thing come from, this alien? Oh, sorry, yes, Adam.
Before I start, I think we should introduce ourselves.
Sure, whatever. Good idea. Veteran panelists.
I'm Adam Daigle. I am the managing developer for Paizo, and I had been known as the monster guy, but now. Yep.
Yeah.
Jason working on Starfinder is now the Starfinder monster guy.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah. So you ended up that way. Sorry.
That happened.
That's how I ended up.
I was doing Pathfinder. Sort of coming to you with a Pathfinder monster question too. Yeah. When we did the superstar when I was on the monster round. So my name is Jason Keeley. I am an editor. Basically, a little dude, but been on the Starfinder team and sort of poached to start doing development for that.
And this is
Remco. Truce.
Remco.
Remco is an amazing artist. He's also the person who has designed all of our Starfinder iconics. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to work at the cover for Alien Archive. It may be done. I don't know.
Yeah.
So thanks to him for that.
And I'm Sarah Robinson. I'm the creative director design director for Paizo. And I am the one that usually crush their dreams on making great stats, static monsters with great pictures because I reduce their description.
Yes. Because
she
of Sarah.
Makes everything pretty.
Yes.
And crushes our words.
Words. Well, with that formality out of the way, let's get into the yelling at things portion of this seminar. We're sort of thinking about maybe something that could be a playable race in some fashion. Let's start off thinking about what kind of planets is this thing from?
Jungle. High-gravity world.
High-gravity jungle. All right.
Nocturnal with lots of bioluminescence.
Ooh.
Oh, really specific right now.
Really getting, okay. terrific. So, this thing, is it a tree-dwelling kind of thing? Is it a ground-dwelling kind of thing? Are we going to...
Insect, like dragonfly-like.
Well, with With wings? We'll leave that up to Rimco.
Wings are arboreal.
Yeah.
What do you look like?
Yeah,
really muscles.
Maybe you got some muscles.
Seriously powerful claws.
What a symbiotic.
Clinging to the trees.
I don't know. Well, Rimco, when we hit something that that you can maybe... I don't know how this works either.
You're the ultimate arbiter of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Something that's... seems the most interesting to you, we will totally work with all
this,
of that.
This is starting out great.
That's right. All right.
I agree with you.
It's a creature from a jungle creature. It makes sense that it's the understory creature.
Okay. You mean like underground?
No,
understory. Not up in the trees, but down below the canopy. Let maybe go one. Well, we'll see which way he ends up.
Subterranean jungle.
A subterranean.
Mushrooms or trees?
Trees.
Waterfalls up.
No, I'm just saying, like, we're scattering. We need
right, focus. Okay. Focus fire.
Symbiotic.
Maybe it has some kind of. Oh, that we'll see if that
changes hosts.
There you go.
Switches for most of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bioluminescent
is symbiotic.
How do you usually sort of get the narrow down part? When we get to
I think your idea of going for a specific world is a good idea. Once now we've gotten the terrain, maybe we should think about size and morphology.
All right.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
How hard is the science that we talk about?
Well, this is a science fantasy game, so if we are, for some reason, need to say, well, this planet has high gravity, but then there's a lot of flying around, maybe there's some sort of magic to this planet. We will sort of work backwards to make the science feel like it works, I think, that, or at least feel like it's science fantasy. I think I was doing for the core rulebook, talking about an alien planet that was essentially a bunch of floating rocks. But I had to be like, well, why did they just fly off? Why is it an asteroid belt? No, they're sort of still in a weird planet shape, but moving constantly around because of some sort of science, arcano technology, magic accident that caused the center of the place to sort of have enough gravity to keep everything close. So you can kind of peanut butter the whole thing to just sort of smooth it out nice. I'd say weird. Look, I'm at a point. This is also
the quote of the conference.
Thank you. I said something way worse yesterday. When I start talking, I don't always necessarily know the words that come out of my mouth before they come out of my mouth. This is how I GM too. Just sort of like.
I got another question.
So yeah.
So. All of us are familiar with Pathfinder and monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any differences in the design principles for aliens and Starfinder compared to Pathfinder monsters, or just say, oh, they're from another planet, but it could be a monster just as easily?
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be, we have alien creatures that might be, tiny burrowing rat thing on another planet, or a giant sandworm, you know, those sorts of things. We always, like, well, we don't do, generally monsters do for Pathfinder, we sort of also think about, like, mythologies and things that might be in pop culture that we can sort of reference and decide how we want to work. In aliens, you kind of have a little more. I mean, there's a lot more sci-fi aliens to choose from, but you don't want to necessarily be making a Jabba the Hutt and then a Vulcan. You know, to go that route, but you want to maybe get an idea of this is kind of a big, kind of a slug guy. Why would he be a slug guy? And, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, one of the things for Pathfinder that I've done a lot of is taking monsters from folklore. Which works for a fantasy game, doesn't work so much for a sci-fi game because we don't have that folklore yet. We haven't gotten there as a species.
Right, yeah, we're taking
to create those kind of stories. And, like, people, like, we just did Bestiary 6, and people are just like, how many bestiaries can you put out? It's like, turns out humankind has been making up monsters for thousands of years. So we have a rich tapestry to pull from tons of different cultures throughout the world. But, yeah, in a futuristic thing,
we're not there yet.
Not there so yet. A lot of that is coming from sci-fi tropes and just our own demented minds.
Yeah, well, you can think a little bit about like why folklore creatures exist, right? Well, they play on often lots of fears or thoughts that people would have. Humankind or just sort of people kind might still have some of these same fears, right? So. Fear, even though you might be going out in space, there's still like, well, you know, fear of darkness might still be a thing. It's not going to be as primitive and not as primal driving you to why you might come up with it, but come up with like a reason for this fear of the dark. But you might still have a creepy dark monster. So we're talking about, we've got a high gravity jungle world, we've got some bioluminescence going on in here, but what kind of size are we talking about? Are we going to go with, just straight up medium?
Let's go tiny.
Large. Tiny might be a little tough for making this also a PC race, but let's go with small.
If it's a high gravity world or it's a land creature, you would think short and squat.
Short and squat. Yeah, yeah.
What about a binary planet system?
What about a binary planet?
It's like there are two planets
spinning around
on a like a planar axis, so they're like acting as each other's moons.
Okay, that is definitely like I'm sure we might even have something like that in the core, like off in the distance. I'm not sure how that's going to help us figure out what kind of creature this is, or alien this is, but it is interesting.
But I'm just saying, it's like you got now two different worlds that are acting as like one planet.
Oh, I'm out to talk. Yeah, when we get into talking about like the society of this thing, which we let's hope has a society at least, there might be a reason why they're like, oh, that guy, you know, we have a war with that other planet because every once in a while we get too close enough to the planets to just shoot at each other.
Right.
So morphologically, that short squats, maybe a bit of muscles in his arms. Maybe it kind of has. It's kind of like maybe slightly reversed in that its upper limbs are its legs and its back limbs are its hands in a way.
So if you're talking about a high gravity world where you're arboreal, maybe you have multiple limbs for holding on.
Yeah, even so, you might have
more than one. Having more than four might be useful.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like a Star Wars duck?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're talking front wheel drive.
two tails for gravity.
Yeah. Ooh.
Shave the serial numbers off.
Okay. Yeah, we can shave the serial numbers. So yeah,
more natural attacks than we have.
Skin inside of the between the arms and shit. So
a little kind of thing, like squirrel kind of thing.
They use their tail for kangaroo for more balance than prehensibility.
What if
this is a grab bag?
To basically resist the heavy gravity, it has like helium sacs or something to lighten itself.
That was his
all I heard was sacks.
I'm
Bridget
sacks.
Oh, yes, back there.
Some people were talking about symbiosis and also bioluminescence. Maybe they have little, colonies of symbiotic bioluminescent bacteria that also produce the anti-gravity gas.
In the sacks.
I got sacks from that.
Arbitrary or like sacks.
No, that was actually too much.
You need to add on to sacks.
See, now I want to say Fifth Avenue because I have a terrible pun. Pun.
No
pikes.
No pun.
If it's hydrogen, maybe they can even have a little fire breathing.
I keep wanting to say things that already, I did a thing where, meh. I don't want to give too much of the story away.
This is the point where Jason realizes, I can't say everything yet.
I can't say everything that's in the Alien Archive yet.
And I'm ignorant enough that I don't know
what I'm talking about.
Well, don't rely on me for information, basically.
One of the, we have plenty of Pathfinder monsters that have that kind of death burst ability. Whether or not we want to get one of the processes about doing Alien Archive and maybe thinking this is a PC race, we can do an alien, right, and then PC race, and they might not necessarily have the exact same powers. We kind of have to occasionally water them down a little bit so that they are PC legal. So you could have a monster that does have the explosion ability that when it dies, but you kind of don't want to give that to PCs because they probably don't want to explode.
Maybe a once a day gas lighting sort of fire.
Yes.
Well, playing off of that some, maybe it's got two sacs that glow with the glowing bacteria, but the bacteria help it eat. So when it's hungry, you get the sacs inflate and it allows it to kind of float around and it can move around the trees. But then when it's eating, the bacteria go back in, there's no sacs, it has to hold on to the tree and kind of hang there like a possum while it digests.
With my hand on the tree.
Awesome.
Nice.
You went a different way. I thought you were saying he had to rub the food on his bacteria.
kind of like the chambers of a cow's stomach, right? The bacteria, when there's no food to eat, they kind of go out and expand. And when there's something to eat, they go in.
So it almost got kind of, yeah, it got a little bit, like a frog sometimes. It has to sort of it gets bigger when it's, not hungry?
When it's hungry and hunting.
When it's hungry and hunting, it's more compact, and then
no,
when you,
it's,
the other way around.
Yeah, kind of like, an anglerfish, you got the light.
Yeah.
And then once it eats, that bacteria helps it digest.
So it's got to go shoosh back in.
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be one. I mean, we're talking a lot of these creatures, and we don't necessarily know if this is yet a tool-using species, and whether or not enough of a tool-using species that it can be a PC. We do have a... nope. Okay, I can't say.
How smart is this little thing?
Yeah, how smart is he?
Because that's it, you know, we've got cow and genius.
Where are we at in that?
Intelligence 5.
So, well, we don't necessarily have to...
Yeah, we don't have to give numbers to it.
But so, kind of, but we were saying it's kind of dumb.
It's part of your paladin.
Shots fired.
They have more of a pack mentality than a tribal mentality.
So they get smarter the more than they are?
Instinctively, is
no, we all tools
no.
Tools
no. Tools.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So the group mind, where there's more of them together, and then they can figure out problems more easily.
Yeah, that's always interesting.
That would be the middle.
Yeah.
They want to. Yeah. So the
group. Do you guys mind if I use drugs publicly to get this thing done?
Turn that microphone off. We need about 5 minutes here for Remco. And then we can all agree that it didn't happen.
Would the bioluminescence allow for some sort of like camouflage? Is there a deep jungle? Would they have like some sort of camouflage?
It's possible.
If the four are on our bioluminescence.
Right. That it might be, yeah.
What are they hunting and what hunts them?
That's a great question. So, well, these things have neat, like, puff up when they get hungry, but what are they eating? Are they herbivores? Are they carnivores? Are they omnivores? Are they something else of ours?
Maybe they have to eat more maybe vegetation to help
herbivores.
Digest.
Okay, yeah, we can make
or the lights are drawing in small insects.
Herbivores.
Filter through, like, baleen on whales.
So
something in, and then they...
Maybe this world is sort of choked with insect life, so it kind of just needs to just basically move around.
Or,
suck in
with the baleen whale thing, what if like the atmosphere is so full of this bacteria?
Right. Yeah. This phylum. It's all you have to do. So it's less of a. It doesn't actually fully have like a food source so much as it has the
environment
around it to just sort of suck in the bioluminescence.
If it's got the whole when you need to feed go up and then go down. Then the bioluminescent bacteria is confined to one vertical region of like the tree.
Oh, like different strata of it?
Yeah.
Well, it's maybe not necessarily going up, but it is maybe getting bigger when it's hungry, so it has more surface area that sort of like just bump into this bacteria. So most likely something like this probably wouldn't necessarily have teeth.
How would you maybe
it might already
goes through
teeth.
The end of the road
and then it's the
bacteria from the bottom.
Well,
like it absorbs it by going through the brush.
Oh, so it's brushing up against
things.
Well, at this point, like if we make this a piece, if we go on this sort of thing onto a PC race, you could have it basically big. Well, they even though they're maybe a bit dumb, they have advanced upon. They're using tools and whatnot. So what they have necessarily are maybe they've got essentially like go-gurts that are just full of this bacteria that they just go, well, now that I'm hungry, I just like burp on their skin, like a crossing go-gurt and sunscreen, I guess. So good! Because that's weird and alien, right? That's it's not eating like a we know
eating. I rub soup on my face.
So as a player character, if they're leaving that environment, are there restrictions around that?
So how much can I ask this question? But not we do sort of have tried to make things a little more accessible in a lot of ways. We want, without me saying too much, adventurers to kind of go lots of places at the beginning. We don't necessarily spend, when you're at first level, you've got to struggle to get, you get the spaceship right away. Like, oh, well, you can't go on that moon because it's just gas and you're not X number of levels. So we're trying to make it sort of more accessible. So a weird PC like this would maybe have and the write-up, too. Like, make sure you bring your tube foods. They cost 5 pounds a piece, and that's the only way you can eat. But, you know, they might be widely available in a lot of places, or something like that, basically.
Or like a helmet that brings on the environment.
Yeah,
or
pumps
like
the food. Just every once in a while, you just press a button, and your helmet just squirts food on your face.
And
a little peckish.
Memorize your main piece.
Yes.
So if we're going with a creature that absorbs its food through its skin, then there would be no reason to have a mouth. Because how would it communicate?
Okay, it's okay. Well, we'll get what.
How am I communicating?
Whoa, it's my nerves.
Something to think about. That's
yeah, no, sorry. They could have like this bioluminescence could be a thing where they flash everyone.
What
they
if it's like a bullfrog?
Flash
it could be sex. It makes noise when it contracts. The
it
sex
could,
to both
could
both intimidation and for communication.
I got out of that sax again. So this thing is just a big sack of
more
sax.
Paper for sax.
I just remember the sax.
What about telepathy? No reason they're restricted to strictly physical communication. You can do mental communication.
Yeah, if it's bioluminescence, it might communicate with the lights.
Yeah, I'll get some people back here. We'll start with the ESU with the what or anything.
Okay, just think about like okay, so if it gets their food passively, then they didn't need to cooperate or hunt or anything. So what's their incentive for forming a society? Is it mutual protection?
Yeah, something we didn't actually talk about real quick that you brought up. Does anything on this planet hunt them?
Right, they're the prey.
If they're these little
the
goose eggs
fly up to that bacteria, eat them to get the bacteria after they brought it down.
It's like you mentioned the stratus system, that they could be like the
right.
Surface, the topmost layer of the strata, where they're staying by the core of the planet that hunt them.
So they just catch them and lick them?
No, probably a chump.
As you do.
We need 5 minutes.
Frog model plank. And like frogs are generally low to the ground, or injuries, they independent. But so most of their predators are gonna be low ground. So what are like big honking snakes, like high gravity, like wide snakes that just wreak havoc on them, which would give them a reason to group together.
Flat snakes.
Those are called tapeworms.
I like flat. No, I like the idea of like this down here. If they're just because you want the things to be kind of neat and alien.
You need to name those snakes.
Just like really super thick snakes. I don't know.
Long flounder. Yeah.
Or long flounder. Still doesn't quite roll off the tongue like flat snakes.
Fine.
Yes, back there again.
Hover trees.
Yeah.
Hover trees.
That's
I just come up with names for shit. That's really funny.
And then you get a freelancer to actually write it. Write me some flat snakes and hover trees.
Do it.
Remco, how are we doing?
Coming up with some stuff.
Cool.
Ooh. I have a question. It's like
buggy. I like it.
It's buggy kind of.
There's sacks on it.
We far from this popsicle pancake kind of snake thing.
that's not them. This is a different creature on this world.
Okay.
You don't probably need to draw a popsicle pancake.
They're friends.
No, they eat them. They eat them.
Well, what friends of the creature?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about the sacks and the flying and levitation. What if it's not actually flying? What if, because of the high gravity of the world, the atmosphere is super condensed? And it's actually swimming through the atmosphere and has the predatory aspects of like predatory fish and things in it somehow.
They swim. Mm-hmm.
They could also be more, they migrate more,
Yeah, it's like shoaling and
exactly, yeah.
They need to get for mutual protection.
I get this guy back here who has hand
movements.
Communication wise, two things. Maybe they started by using lights and just flashing, and then later they learned to manipulate the bioluminescence. Writing can appear in their flesh, and I have to say it with all the gas attacks. Maybe they just release gas.
Maybe they have like a weird smell based
pheromones
based sort of just weird language, so that like when you go to like. And you've got enough, and it's got enough, maybe, I don't know what you're talking about.
Aromification.
But like, when they have, they can't, like, because you want to play this PC race, you don't want to make them, like, completely What you call it?
Wookiees.
Wookiees or just completely mutes, right? Then I said, so they these guys have maybe sort of enabled their sack to be able to like basically talk, but
like accordions.
Hey, talk like this. But
y'all didn't expect accordions on stage.
Please tell me somebody recorded that.
Oh, we've got a microphone right here. But like, if you're not one of them, you don't get the nuances of the smell that they are also giving off. Man. You're like, what was that? Was that sarcasm? Was that sadness? And then you get a whiff of like burnt eggs, and you're like, ah.
Okay, we have a new panel. You're just gonna do this for like 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours.
It's exhausting. I'm gonna go to sleep right now.
They also consider is we assume they breathe, so they could use their nostrils as a type of like musical instrument, right? To play kind of a song of some sort of language, so maybe they might throw like
I'm not singing.
To, they can track the expand.
Sure.
Right, Jason? What's going on?
I'm not singing. All right. You don't want that.
Do they breathe?
Or said bagpipe. Are like bagpipe.
Maybe they have a trunk.
Oh, something.
Would they necessarily need to breathe?
Yeah.
So let's say we've got hover trees in a gas giant world. If they're swimming, do they? I mean,
well,
would
it could
necessarily
be. It could be
need to breathe.
Yeah, like well, they similarly, they have like kind of maybe some kind of gill type deal
yeah.
that but as you, they go through this gas.
When you eat through your skin, you need a separate breathing apparatus too.
It's a question we've all asked ourselves. Like how I didn't actually answer that question.
Yeah, no,
one thing that's become very clear to me so far
yes.
in our
like
half hour of this so far
sure.
mm-hmm. is that people are way more forgiving of fantasy monsters.
Oh, right, yeah, you're just like
well,
no,
this
just
has to make fucking sense right here.
You just make, well, this is just a walking around floating skull.
You guys could just slap space in front of the troll and call it good. Well, that's not gonna.
That's only gonna last so long.
Exactly.
That's only gonna work so much.
I think it worked the one time, and now we're done with it.
It's
yeah.
a space beholder.
Exactly.
We have to be careful when breathing through the skin, though, because like insects, that's how they get their oxygen.
Right.
And
yeah.
what keeps insects really tiny is the fact that oxygen is only what 30% of our atmosphere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you breathe through your skin, the atmosphere has to be like almost 100%. Of what it
whatever
is if you
want
to be that size.
There's nothing saying
that happens. No, but whatever
well,
atmosphere,
but whatever
is, a high percentage. And this could be a high percentage.
Why,
whatever
you go
they
back
say, 50
million
yes.
years ago, you got dragonflies this big.
Right.
Right.
Why does it have
exactly.
to breathe?
It's got to, I don't know. Why do you have to breathe? Who said that? I'll fight you. Back there again. We'll get to the breathing thing.
And it's what the sacks are for.
Or maybe just being bad at it.
Yeah. The pinnacle of evolution.
Why not? We had a drunken god, now we have a drunken alien.
Yeah, sure.
We have a large grab bag of things here. We've got Remco sketching away on a number of things. When do we want to like essentially? I mean, well, when we see what he has, and then sort of, oh, this is what this is, and this part of it that Remco drew is this the thing that we, you
mm-hmm.
know, when do we want to kind of start looking at what you've got? When can we start looking at what you've got?
Yeah, then you can take a picture and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna. But in the meantime, while that is happening, back there, sir. You said
so I was thinking, since we were, it seems like this avenue of thought seems to be basically drawing in a basically infinite number of possibilities. Is there another strategy, maybe by thinking of a story element first, or a goal? Or
right.
A,
I mean, that is a lot.
Better to
try, yeah, I mean, when you want to, often,
what
even for like.
Next?
No, that's my. No, I mean, we are starting from like. Everything and then narrowing it down, right? But like when you actually want to start from scratch, you do want to like, oh, I've got this AP that I'm writing on. I need a monster that does this, so I'll start from there and back up. Like, oh, maybe it looks like this and this and that thing. You want to say that?
I was just thinking, like we've talked a lot about the world it comes in, it comes from,
mm-hmm.
and the environment it's in, and its own morphology, and we talked about its society and maybe how smart it is and
right.
its culture
yeah.
a little bit, but maybe we should explore some of that at this point.
Yeah, you can go forward and explore the sort of culture.
My question would be like, what would be this creature's motivation to get out into the movie in order to, if this is a, would be a player pair?
Right, yeah.
How would this character get out into this universe?
Well, when we get to the culture, we can sort of say that.
That ties into my question.
Yeah.
Would they have developed technology, or would they have been uplifted?
And I think the approach for going towards this is we'll start macro with the mind of going to an individual at some point, and then see where that hits in between.
What if they were uplifted through music and went out to the universe to discover
the music of the speed?
Well, what if they were enslaved because they were recording musical instruments?
So that's kind of sad.
They are their own export.
Come on.
Do the accordion thing again.
No. Not when you. I don't. That's a monkey.
Not your monkey.
What if it's not a single bacteria they eat, but there's different varieties that have different flavors, and might be why they want to explore both their world and others to find.
Find more flavors. I do like the idea that, like, there's always that
tagline.
There's always that talk of the music of the spheres, music of the stars. That I think that there's some sort of, they can maybe even hear a little bit different wavelengths if they want to go out there and hear more music. We don't talk a lot about music based things.
There's been a lot of talk about it being like a filter feeder almost. And the description of it makes it sound very vulnerable and prey-like. Mm-hmm. Is there any natural defenses this thing has that keeps it?
Right. We were trying to possibly batting about, like, well, it just burns some flames
toxicity.
At you guys, and
it,
or yeah, it's just gross. It probably tastes bad.
If it's from some place that is very high in this bacteria, would it have trouble going other places? Would that be a limitation if you were wanting to do it as a PC race? Does it need to be more versatile?
I'm not sure. I mean, because we have some things that are...
Oh, because it could just wear a...
That's adorable.
Does it have two genders?
That's like the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Nine.
I have a lot.
Like, is it based on the color of bacteria? Do you know what gender you are?
Remember, do you
want to
say anything about any of these guys here?
Well, those are little lungs.
Little buddy.
These are like little lungs. And
yeah, and
these are the kids.
Oh, these are the children.
Yeah.
These are the babies.
Why mandibles?
Well, people were shouting insect, I think.
Holding the kids.
Insect
fish snake. That's its name.
Singing.
Well,
singing insect fish.
Actually, they could switch food sources at different age types. Like the young are the filter feeders, and then as adults they become carnivores and need the jaws.
Yeah, more predatory.
Well, they could just be using that to spear some kind of just a pop.
Which is kind of like an interesting flip on the way a lot of insects are, where they'll feed throughout their like larval and pupal stages, but then once they're adults, they don't really feed. They just kind of like, appropriate, done.
Why don't you make it reverse?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like this could be the reverse of that, where the young don't actively feed as much as the adults.
Yeah. We can also kind of look at a little bit of like a sort of an evolutionary thing where like these are the babies, but then like maybe like, you know, millennia ago they would sort of just be bigger, those things, but as they sort of evolved a bit, they kind of got the need for like these little claw bits and these little fangs that they would turn the tables on the flat snakes. Now they eat them. Yes, you.
So we were talking about defense mechanisms before we saw the picture.
Yeah.
And if they're so bacteria-based, why not make it something like a Komodo dragon, right? Like, that's their defense, is that they kill shit because they're so infectious.
Oh, yeah. If you eat it, you immediately get...
Or
not just that, it
tastes
bad.
Or even something like biting them.
Yeah,
or if they actually bite other things.
Ooh, that's a challenge for PC, but not that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's definitely
true. Like once a year or something.
In an attempt to answer some of the questions that were asked recently, what if the right-hand side picture is what they grow into if they are to become protectors of the forest in which they live, but the left-hand side
What they are actually are living seeds born from the trees who are trying to find somewhere fertile to plant themselves and become new trees. So they have like two paths they can choose. Do they become a tree or do they become a protector? That gives you then the reason as to why they're trying to leave the world. The world may be overpopulated with trees and they need to find somewhere new to start the cycle again.
Maybe they're actually something that you have to clear off your ship before they let you die.
Maybe they're on the island. They're planted on the island and that's what makes the island float.
Oh, the islands are really like colonies.
Yeah, like a big pile of coral, clumps of coral.
Cool.
You, sir. Just a question. I think it might have been asked, but and I don't have an answer. But if they eat by absorbing, then what is the purpose of the animals?
Defense. We could also sort of move on. Like not necessarily be. We're not necessarily tied down to all of these things.
It's like plumage.
It's
all presentation. Check out my mandibles.
Well, maybe they don't do anything. They're just a defense.
A big external.
You look menacing, but they
right. Maybe they don't. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. They could not. They could. They could just look like mandibles, and they don't have to be bone or anything.
Maybe
they just be just real floppy.
Like
red bones. Reproductive organs on this guy's face. I don't know if we want to do that.
There's worse things.
No, that's true. All right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. When do we want to like? Where are we at?
What if the mandibles are like the anglerfish, and that's where the bioluminescence is used to attract food?
What could be a double purpose? Does it look bad?
Yeah. Like
these little guys are little. Well, they just glow and they flash. That's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
And actually, when the light goes through, because this is translucent, and when the light goes through it,
there you
go.
Oh! Someone was saying,
Jason,
say that again.
This lady back here had a great idea.
Yeah, no, I know. Say it again, please.
There's a larger kind of thing that has this face with the mandibles. That's actually a really vicious predator that everything on the planet is scared of.
Mm-hmm.
And they mimic that so that they can kind of help.
Yeah, that's really good. So even like then when your players come to this planet, whatever, for the first
real head, fake head, real head.
Oh god, yeah.
Well, there's snakes and other reptiles.
Bugs.
You can kind of see like these little circles here, kind of actually being its actual optical organs here. And you can kind of have like don't only need a face, but maybe you know, sex. Yeah, cool.
What if over time, if they are on another planet, they actually mimic a different predator? The first generation, but
as they evolved, it's different things.
Yeah, so it's more of a humanoid version.
I'm Moth now.
So you could have different varieties, but not really changing the mechanics at all.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you needed to see the whole galaxy, it'd be
if they go to war, their suits would be whatever the big predator is.
That's an interesting
xenomorphs from the book series, the alien book series are like that. Whatever the host species that the facehugger gets, it takes on characteristics. So that I like that idea for that.
Ooh.
Oh, that's gonna be
Oh, it's just like, oh, it's like something else. I don't like that anymore. But
weird controls here. I want to talk a little bit about the little guys.
Yeah.
They're adorbs.
Is that their name?
I love the adorb.
I don't think that would get past editorial.
Yeah,
well,
talk to marketing first. They'll make a plushie out of it.
So, I mean, we got them kind of gliding. Maybe they're kind of at this sort of like
body-ish
thing.
Those membranes, are those like sacs that are within the membranes here?
They grow out of the face.
Yeah.
And then they go on the back and they slowly will make the body. And actually, while they're little, they can fight as well, so these kind of come in handy.
Helping the birds grab on.
Oh, a little built-in baby viewer.
Yeah. That's adorable. I want this to be a real creature
It is somewhere.
Somewhere in your
mind. We're actually channeling some weird cosmic.
No, well, Wemko saw it. Yeah. He obviously went to the whatever this was. He's just sketching this from memory.
So where did the tail go, and why does it no longer have it as an adult?
This part,
it's your tail thing. It drops off. Like, it's that's a rite of passage. Yeah. Your tail falls off.
You're now an adult.
Yeah.
We're going to have a party for your tail day.
There goes
the
tail.
The abdomen as it grows up, and that's where the sacs that collect the
algae. Right. Sure, the
expression
of
like a weird one.
Yeah,
tail or sacs. Either way.
The tail could also be used to reproduce. Like, when the tail falls off, that's what kind of creates the next generation.
The tail actually splits rather like a tadpole turning into a frog, and that's where the legs come from.
Yeah. It doesn't need it.
Really, really.
Could each of the little babies evolve into their own type of like taste system so that you could have different classes with the same character? Not necessarily have them get bonuses or anything, but have a reason why something delicate can fight some, you know, be tanky, and why something, you know, delicate can then be something else.
We've had some cases of like dimorphism and upwards of septomorphism. Some things, and that may be giving too much away. That's definitely an idea that we can have, like, present us a way, like, and, anything like that in Pathfinder? I don't think there is.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can be like, oh, well, this race is definitely +2 dexterity, but then you get to pick this, so you're +2 strength and -2 this, and then, or you pick this and you put that. We haven't done that yet.
I've tried that before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of fingers alternate.
More aesthetic. Kind of
yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
In the latest Wayfinder, they did something like that. They made like an Arctic Kitsune. So like a standard fox versus an Arctic
right,
fox.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's like the sub-race, and so it's a little bit different. It's a sub-race of the Kitsune.
My first draft with Skinwalker was a lot more versatile in how some of those things work.
Let's all guess Sarah's password.
12. 42.
Okay, so let's while we get we're waiting to get the art back up here. I kind of wanted before we wrap up the art part. I kind of want to have a name for this for the beginning of next session.
Names are hard.
I know names are super hard. That's why I think it'll take a few minutes.
So
we call be shouting syllables out, and that will definitely get us something.
I think no. Every person says one letter, and then we make an anagram.
That's a long ass name.
Oh, we have the right to remove most of those.
Okay, that's fair. That's pretty fair. Or is it?
Adorbs backwards.
Scrota.
That doesn't sound good.
Nah, and you know,
people recognize that cleverness a lot of
times. By the way, but let's sort of like come up with some
since they speak with like accordion tones. Yeah. There's like a lot of like a low.
Yeah, kind of like a.
A wheeze man.
A wafa. Adam's good at this.
Uafa.
Uafa or uafa?
I was thinking O-O-P-H-A-A.
P-H-A-A.
Uafa.
Uafa.
I don't know.
That's a marble watch.
That could also be a
watu. It's a bit like a watu. Yeah.
Instead of pH.
Well, that's getting even closer. But I like this sort of like idea of it having a kind of a breathy,
airy,
sound,
yeah.
Kind of name.
Without the hard consonant.
Yeah.
What's that?
Wafting.
Because it kind of sounds like wafting.
Yeah.
Wafting
to the air. You clever son of a gun. You've done it again.
And only you will.
Well, we can kind of go. I'm just sort of writing letters down now. How do you spell that?
O U A.
O U A. Yeah, I like that. W O U A. And then we'll. I kind of want to start with
a little box above the W.
Umlauts above a W?
Every letter.
No, no, no. Read what it says there. It says editor. None of that happens.
Oh, speaking of, can we put like an apostrophe in the middle of it?
No.
No.
You
get one
in
your entire career. So you have to be very careful when you choose your apostrophe name.
What about a glottal stop? Do you get a glottal stop at any point?
Well, that's what it's supposed to mean, but no one uses it that way. Look at Forgotten Realms Drop. Or
we have to throw one the Spanish tilde in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, sure.
You guys,
actually, nothing but tildes.
Okay, with four tildes at the end. Ampersand.com. Got it. Woofa. Woofa. That does sort of flow. I guess got good vibes about that word. Woofa.
Can we add a hashtag?
Woofa's me a
drink.
Woofa's me a drink.
Woofa's me a drink.
No, we need 90 different spellings.
No, I like you. No, that's actually good to know. Like, oh, it actually sounds like something that who offers me a drink. So we might want to switch it a little bit. Maybe we'll put the T in there. Huafta. Huafta. I like that. Wait. That's sounding something.
Like the lid.
Why don't I be like, sort of like a
what the, or I'll just throw consonants.
Just throw consonants at me. Wapapa,
papa. We got a bunch of them.
She sells by the seashore. New York.
Maybe a B.
Waba.
Maybe have it end in a consonant.
Why are
insects
always
S's? I don't know.
Insects are always like S's and
Z's. J.
Waja.
Except for beetle.
What about a CH sound?
I mean, like dumb beetle. I never see the names of like.
Wowie zowie. This is again a real deep dive into process here where I just make noises at myself for a good 20 minutes.
He does that as Dustin.
Blah, 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 blah. Is he all right? With the calling him a...
What about Vashti?
That sounds real familiar. Vashti?
One of my characters' last name.
Okay. Maybe I know your character?
No.
Vashti.
I'm thinking the name. There's like Vashti of Tyria. I don't remember what book or.
Well, we can definitely smoosh that around a little bit too.
Secret about development. Anytime our freelancers turn in some nonsense made up name, we always Google it because sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, oh, that's already a thing. Sometimes. It's a vulgar thing. Sometimes it's a vulgar thing in Finnish. And so you're like, oh, okay. Oh.
That's where they get their word. They just Finnish dictionary.
I think.
Purple.
And also 100% of our Finnish freelancers are here at the con.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's exciting. That's 100%. 100% is a good number. Going with a
U
at the end. Washed. I think that's what it is.
Who washed you?
So we're at 10 till. Do we want to do a break between
yes,
the design
we
part
and the
art
so we
part?
Can so the, these guys can get out if they need to. What's that? No.
I have an iPhone.
Well, yeah, you can attach it to the
this fancy tech.
This thing does that too.
Sure, I think I can do this.
Anyway, so thanks for helping doing the art part of this. We're gonna take a 10-minute break. If you need to, is that a hand up or are you just stretching me on? We'll take a 10-minute break, so these two can, maybe get out of here if they need to, and, roll. I don't know. What do you think there? It'll be back up. It'll come back up when Adam puts his phone on there. Feel free to come back in 10 minutes. We're going to talk about how we make stats for this thing and what the heck it do. And that's thanks to Remco for season one. Woo!
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to nodirectionpodcast.com.